Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Swarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. God has called his church to take the good news of Jesus into the world. That's our mission as disciples of Christ, and this ministry exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. To learn more about Brave or give a gift to help make programs like the one today possible, head to bravepastorjeff.com. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins his message, Boasting About Our God, from the series Summer in the Psalms, and shows you that God is your good shepherd who provides all you need.
This morning I want to start a new series called Summer in the Psalms. I think it's really important as we take a look at God's Word that we preach the whole counsel of God. And we spent a lot of time in the New Testament. I want to be faithful to both Testaments. And the Psalms are a great place to go. Because really what the Psalms deal with is your heart. The Psalms deal with your heart. That's why nobody can get away from the Psalms. I mean, even book publishers, when they publish New Testaments, many times it'll be New Testament with the Psalms. Because the Psalms are great. Because if you're in a place where you find yourself rejoicing, the Psalms are going to help you do it even better. If you find yourself in a place where you're discouraged, the Psalms are going to help you articulate how you feel. If you're in a place where you wonder where God is, hey, the Psalms are going to help reveal where your heart is in that point too. I mean, it really reveals the heart. And what's really unique about the Psalms is they're so poetic that what they do for us is in a few short verses, they can give us a lot of revelation and a lot of wisdom. So that's why we can read the Psalms over and over again and meditate on them over and over again and receive a fresh word from the Lord as we continue to worship Him. And so as we begin this series today and as we go through the Psalms, I think it's going to be a great opportunity for us to have our hearts and our souls refreshed in Christ Jesus. As we begin this series, I began thinking about, hey, where do we want to start? You know, do we start in Psalm 1? Do we start in Psalm 150 and talk about praising the Lord? And I went all through and I kept coming back to this Psalm, Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is probably the most recited, often the most known, certainly one of the most memorable Psalms in the entire Bible. It was one of the first verses that I ever had to read and to memorize when I went to a grade school. We memorized scripture, and I still love the Psalm to this day, and it continues to reveal more and more. So I invite you this morning, open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 23, and as we look in these six short verses this morning, I'm going to read these verses to you, and then we'll take a look at three specific things that I believe David is trying to make known to us, and I believe that there's a lot for each one of us here this morning. Here's what David writes. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, as we take a look at this morning, I want to highlight three specific things that we can look at. But before we get into those three things, I want to point out something. David starts this psalm by saying, the Lord is my shepherd. A couple things that are really interesting to point out. If anybody could be an authority on being a shepherd, it's David. Do you know why? Because being a shepherd was his occupation. That's what he grew up being. He was a shepherd. He tended sheep. That's what he did for a living. And even as he was elevated to king, what was his role? To shepherd the people of God. You know what a shepherd does? A shepherd is only as successful as the sheep that he or she is leading. And David knew what it meant to lead sheep. And this is why he's talking very personally about his God. Notice what he says. He doesn't say the Lord is my dad's shepherd. He doesn't say the Lord is my mom's shepherd. He doesn't say the Lord is my grandma or grandpa's shepherd, or the Lord is my kid's shepherd. He doesn't talk about his faith for somebody else. He says the Lord is what? It's my shepherd. I'm telling you about the God that I serve. I'm telling you about what my God is like. Now, why is that so important? Because at some point in our life, what God wants us to do is to make our relationship with him personal. Where it's not just somebody else's faith, or it's not just facts about who God is, but we personally come into intimate relationship with God. That's what he desires. Remember Thomas, one of Jesus' disciples. He spent 3 years with Jesus. He believed Jesus was the Messiah. He had been told on numerous occasions that Jesus was going to go to Jerusalem and be crucified and be raised from the dead. He, even after Jesus was raised, was told by 10 of the disciples that were still alive, "Hey, we saw him. The Lord's alive." You know what Thomas said? "Unless I see it for myself, I'm not going to believe that." And about a week later, we see Jesus standing in front of him with his arms outstretched, saying, "Peace be with you. Look at my hands. Stretch out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Remember what Thomas's response was at that time? "My Lord and my God." It's personal. God wants us all to have personal acquaintance with him. David personally knew the Lord. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, just a few things on a shepherd. We've talked about it many times before, but a shepherd tends sheep, right? Sheep are the only animal that need a shepherd. No, alligators, they don't need a shepherd. You don't shepherd alligators. You don't shepherd lions. You don't shepherd dogs. You certainly can't shepherd a cat, okay? Sheep need a shepherd. Why? Because without a shepherd, sheep don't know what to do. They don't know when to speed up, and they don't know when to slow down, and they need to be told when to eat, and they need to be told which way to go, and they will listen to the shepherd where he leads them. David says this, "The Lord's my shepherd." I mean, in his vernacular, he was saying, "The Lord's my leader." He was saying, "The Lord's my CEO. The Lord's my boss. Whatever he says is what I do." If he would have been a football player, he would have said, "The Lord is my coach." And he's a good shepherd, isn't he? Notice what David says. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." First thing he begins to talk about is God's personal provision. His personal provision. "The Lord is my shepherd." He's not just talking about God's quality, that God's a provider. There's a lot of people that would believe theologically God's a provider. David's saying, "The Lord is my shepherd. He's my provision. He's my provider." Why? "He makes me lie down in green pastures and he leads me beside still waters." How important are green pastures and still waters for sheep? It's what they need to survive. He's saying, "The Lord is my guide. The Lord is my leader. The Lord is my shepherd." And guess where he takes me? He takes me right where I need to go to have everything I need to nourish myself. That's the kind of God that I serve. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He doesn't take me to dusty, barren places. He leads me beside the still waters, the ones that are refreshing and cool to drink. He gives me everything I need for my sustenance. Let me tell you about my God. My God gives me everything that I need. That's who he is. That's what David's doing. What David's really doing throughout this whole psalm is he's boasting. He's bragging about his God. Now, we like to think sometimes in church that bragging is wrong, but it's really not wrong. It depends on how you brag. Because then we see in Jeremiah tells us in Jeremiah 9, "Let not the wise man boast about his wisdom. Let not the strong man boast about his strength. Let not the rich man boast about his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declare the Lord." The Lord says, when you brag about my steadfast love, when you brag about the fact I'm just, when you brag about my righteousness, I love that. I take pleasure in that. What's David doing? He's bragging. God's my provision. He gives me everything I need. He's a good shepherd. Remember when Jesus was on planet Earth? Remember how he referred to himself? What did he say? I'm the good shepherd. Peter refers to him as the chief shepherd and the overseer of our souls. Hebrews refers to him as the great shepherd. There is no other shepherd but Jesus. Even pastors that are called to shepherd a congregation, they're under shepherds of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not true shepherds. Jesus is the shepherd. David is bragging on the Lord. He's bragging on who he is. He's saying, God's my provision. He gives me everything I need. Why does he do this? Because we know, according to the Bible, James 1:17 tells us every good and perfect gift is from above. Everything good in our life comes from God. Now, here's the truth. God is a blessing God. He's a prospering God. And I want to talk to you about something this morning, because without knowing it, sometimes you can do this consciously, sometimes you can do this unconsciously, but even as believers, there's two different groups of people. There's a group that fall into a category, sometimes consciously, but sometimes even unconsciously, that I call the victim mentality kind of people. These are people that hear about God's provision, but when they hear it, they say like this, well, he doesn't provide for me like that. God hasn't provided this for me yet. God hasn't provided that for me yet. They're the kind of people like, how come God provided this for them? And how come God provided this for them? They become critical of people that God provides for. Knowingly sometimes, sometimes unknowingly. They feel like they've been left out. They feel like God's only got so much good to give out and they're on the short end of the stick. But then there's people like David that know who God is, and they know how generous and lavish God is. And they're kind of the victor mentality. And they're like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I have everything I need. When we took a look at the gospel series, we looked at 2 Peter 1:3 that says, he's given us everything we need for life and godliness. Every spiritual thing you need is on the inside. God's already given you the Holy Spirit. You have it all. Now, for those of you here today that live out of the victim poverty mentality, knowingly or unknowingly, here's an exercise to do. Start thinking of the things that God has already done and is currently doing in your life, and you will find that that list continues to go on and on and on and on and on. Start this way. Start just writing down the sins that you're aware of that God's forgiven since you've been born. Then start talking about the fact that if you believe in him, that he's secured your eternity forever and ever. Think about the fact that he's going to present you blameless before your Father who's in heaven. Think about the fact that no matter what you do from here on out, you can't lose God's love and salvation in your life. Not to mention the fact that you had enough health to get here today. Not to mention the fact that most of you have vision and can hear. I mean, you start thanking God for everything. You start thanking God for the relationships in your life. You're going to realize there's a lot more God has given you than what he's withheld from you. Why? Because he's good.
You're listening to Brave, and today Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Boasting About Our God, from the series Summer in the Psalms, to show you that God is your good shepherd who provides all you need. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment, but first, we want to help you be ready to courageously stand for kingdom values each day. That's why we want to invite you to become a Brave Warrior by signing up for email updates from Pastor Jeff. As a Brave Warrior, you'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to BravePastorJeff.com to sign up. Once again, that website is BravePastorJeff.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, let's get back to Pastor Jeff to listen to the conclusion of his teaching from God's Word today.
You're going to realize there's a lot more God has given you than what he's withheld from you. Why? Because he's good. He's given you everything that you need. David's bragging about this. He's like, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. And let me tell you why, because he takes me to the greenest pastures. He takes me to the stillest waters. And notice what he says next. He restores my soul. You know what he's saying? He's doing something for me no one else can do. Did you know that only the Lord can restore your soul? Listen to me, believer. Listen to me. Because a lot of people will say, I know that. I know that. But while you say you know that, you hope that your spouse can restore your soul, and he or she can't. And you'll hope that your best friend can restore your soul, but he or she can't. And you'll hope that your coach or your boss or your employee or your kids, they can't. There's no human being that can restore the depth of your soul. Only Jesus Christ can restore your soul. He's the only one that knows how to get to the deep places of who you are. He's the only one that can help you in the areas that you need. David says, I know this. I have friends, I have people in my life, but it's the Lord that can restore me. It's the Lord that can redeem me. Did you know even well-meaning pastors and people like me that would love to see you walk with Jesus, I can't restore your soul. Only Jesus Christ can. And I'm not just talking about for non-believers. If you don't believe in Christ, I want to tell you this, he wants to restore your soul. And when he does, even as believers, we go through difficult times where there's still pain and there's still hurt and there's still anguish. And guess what God wants to do? He wants to come in and still restore your soul. He's the lover of your soul. He cares for you. David's bragging on him. He's like, I have everything I need. When I'm down, he's the one I go to, and he restores my soul. And notice what he does. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know something about a shepherd? Shepherds lead. You know what makes a good flock of sheep? They follow. I mean, all throughout the Bible, what we see in Jesus is he's a phenomenal leader. As sheep, sometimes we're just not good followers. Jesus always knows where he wants to take us. Jesus always knows where he wants us to go. It's just a question of, will we follow him? And if we do, where does he take us? Green pastures, still waters, restoration of our soul. Only Jesus can do that. Now, I don't know how many of you have a GPS device. Most of us have smartphones now that have GPS turn-by-turn directions on them. I was just on vacation this last week, right? And so when I'm going to an unfamiliar place, I type in where I want to go, and then the phone tells me what I need to do. Then it's up to me whether I want to believe the voice that's coming out of the phone. Make a U-turn in a half mile. I'm not making a U-turn. You go past the half mile, make another U-turn in a half mile. I'm not going to do that. This phone doesn't know where it's going. Make another U-turn. Okay, I better turn around and go where I need to go, right? But Jesus is different than GPS. Because in GPS, I program where I want to go. I dictate to the phone where I want to go, and it tells me how to get there. Not so with a shepherd. The shepherd leads me where he wants me to go. And he starts giving me instructions. And as a sheep, sometimes I want to know, well, why are we going there? And how come I have to go down this trail? And why can't we go this way? And why do I have to go that way? Jesus doesn't always tell us. And oftentimes he doesn't. He just tells you, hey, this is the way. Go my way. Trust me. I got this. I got you. Do you believe me? That's what a shepherd does. And Jesus is this. He's the good shepherd. He leads his sheep to the right place. He's the one who designed you. He knows what's best for you. He's the one who is your leader. There's a lot of people in our world that will say, I'm a Christian. There's a lot of people in the world say, oh yeah, I follow Jesus, but they don't really follow him. Are you a follower of Jesus? I mean, would there be enough evidence in your life if you were put on trial to say, man, this person definitely listens to the Lord and follows them? I mean, when I listen to David, I love this because he says, he's the one who leads me. Now, here's what I love about God. I love that he gave us his revealed word. Now, as a pastor, I got to tell you, I believe all 66 books of the Bible. From the first book in Genesis all the way through the end of Revelation, I believe every word in its original context, and its original language was inspired by God. It's without error. It's inerrant. It's true. Even the parts I don't understand, I just believe it's true, and I believe it by faith, okay? That would have been enough if God would have given us his word. But you know what else he does? He gives us his Holy Spirit. He gives us more than just a map. He gives us a Sherpa. He gives us a trail guide. He gives us one that goes with us. Isn't that awesome? That's God's provision in our life. He reveals the word to us. That's why sometimes when we're reading the words, we get that feeling kind of deep down in here. I need to do this. I need to forgive that person. I need to extend forgiveness. Hey, I need to go show love to that person. Hey, I need to be more generous in this way. I need to do that. Where's that coming from? It's coming from the Holy Spirit of God as the word of God is reading me, right? And it's really interesting because God wants to do great things in our lives. I mean, just in these first verses, we see that God is personal, that he's good, that he's lavish, that he's refreshing, that he's righteous, that he's filled with grace, and that he's glorious. Because every time God takes a wayward sheep, which by the way is every single one of us, because all of us have turned and fallen away from the Lord, and every time he takes somebody who claims his name and gets them on the right road and makes them walk the right way, you know what he's doing? He's getting more glory for himself. I mean, when he takes the Apostle Paul, who's totally wayward and against him, and saves him, and the Apostle Paul starts walking with him, it's not for Paul's glory. Whose glory is it? Jesus is saying, I'm awesome, aren't I? I can take a guy like Paul and do that. Hey, I can take a guy like Jeff Swarzentraub and do that. Hey, I can take a person like you and do that. It's to my glory that I get this stuff done. I'm leading you in paths of righteousness for my reputation, for my name's sake. I'm looking to get glory out of you. Will you follow me? Now, it's really interesting because when Jesus called his disciples, he just gave them two words, follow me. When Paul was exhorting people to go after Jesus, what did he say? Follow me as I follow Christ. What should our call be? Hey, follow me in the way you see me following after Jesus. He's my shepherd. See, God's personal provision is that he meets all of our spiritual needs and he meets all of our needs for our calling. Do you know that every one of you is created in a unique way? I mean, every single one of you, it's why you see the world differently. It's why you have different gifts and talents and abilities. It's why you have different lenses for how you see the world. And God's put you on planet Earth to do something through you that only he can do from you through you. And he says in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, he who calls you is faithful. He will surely what? He'll surely do it. And when God begins to call us to something, it's very easy to go to the victim mentality. Well, I'm not smart enough. I'm not wealthy enough. I don't have enough friends. Nobody's going to follow me. But when you live out of the victorious mindset of, no, he's my shepherd. He's going to resource me. He's going to get me everything I need. If God's leading me down this path, he's going to lead me in the way that he wants me to go. He's going to do the things he wants me to do. I can just trust him and follow with him, and God's going to do all the work. It's a great adventure. That's what God wants for all of us. And then not just in our spiritual life, and not just in our calling, but just in our everyday needs. Philippians 4:19, Paul pens this word. He goes, and I believe that my God will meet all of my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. God is so wealthy, God is so rich, God is so generous, and God is so abundant that when God pours out grace on an individual, he doesn't lose any of the grace he has. So if you have the attitude like, how come they got so much? He's got that much more times infinity to give to you. He's a good shepherd. He doesn't run out of goodness. He's a great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. He's a good God. David's bragging on him. He's like, this is my God. This is who I serve. And when David brags, you know what he's really bragging? I mean, in this whole first three verses, if you could sum it up about God's personal provision, here's what he's bragging. I lack nothing as a servant of the Lord. I lack nothing. Now, some of you came in here today and you're like, oh, that's not true of me. I lack a spouse. I lack a boyfriend. I lack a girlfriend. I lack some health. I lack some finances. No, no, no. That's not what you should boast. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, let me tell you what you lack. You lack nothing. You lack nothing. Can we say I lack nothing and mean it today? Can we say it really loud together? One, two, three. I lack nothing. Can you say it this time like you mean it? I lack nothing. When you're tempted to say, how come it's nothing for me? Just remind yourself of these three verses. I lack nothing. God's willing to provide everything that I need for his name's sake. But it gets even better. Notice the second personal provision God gives. He gives us his personal presence. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, if you read through the Old Testament, you'll see five words all the time about the people that God had favor on. And here's what you'll read. The Lord was with him. You'll hear people in the Old Testament say, Lord, unless you go with me, I'm not going. Why? Because they wanted the Lord to be with them. Isn't it interesting? After Jesus gave the Great Commission, the final words of the Great Commission are, and lo, I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. Isn't it interesting? Before he left planet Earth in John 16, he tells his disciples, it's good for you that I'm going away. Because if I go away, I'll send you another, the Holy Spirit, who will be with you forever. And isn't it cool in the book of Hebrews, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. See, the cool thing about this is many of us, if I said, hey, where's God? We'd start pointing. He's up there. He's out there. He's over here. Can I tell you where God is? He's right here with us. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. And if you're a believer, he's God in us. Now, a lot of people like to quote that verse in Matthew. It says, where two or three people gather in my name, there I am. Okay? That's not what it means. I mean, that's really a scripture about church discipline and making decisions. Here's where God is. Psalm 139 says, if I go out to the farthest stretch of the dawn, there he is. If I make my bed in heaven or in hell, there he is. I mean, where can I go to escape him? It means this. Everywhere I go, because I'm a Christian, there God is. And he's not just up in heaven looking down on me. He's walking right with me. Where is he in our worship service? He's right with me. Where is he in my marriage? He's right with me. Where is he when I go to work? He's right with me. That's what David's bragging about. And he says this, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, you might wonder, well, what's the valley of the shadow of death? If you don't know the answer to that yet, hang on, you're going to know someday. Because sometimes the shepherd leads us on a path that we would never go. And can I just say this about knowing Jesus? Sometimes we think knowing Jesus just means blessing, 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 blessing. And we'll get to that because he's a prospering God. But sometimes because you follow Jesus, sometimes because you claim the name of Jesus, God leads you on a path that you would otherwise never want to go.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Boasting About Our God, from the series Summer in the Psalms, encouraging you with the truth that God is your good shepherd and he provides all you need. If you've been blessed by today's teaching, we invite you to give a gift to help keep this program going strong. To give, visit BravePastorJeff.com. That's BravePastorJeff.com. But before we wrap up, we also would like to invite you to join us for weekend services at Brave Church. Visit in person at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.